WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. It's good to be back in the house. Last week was Easter Sunday, or the Resurrection Sunday, that we call it. And that's when Jesus got up. But the Bible said when he rose with absolutely all power in his hands. Not some of it. All power was given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. And he had the keys. He took the keys to hell and death. And so he had the power of life and death. He had the ability to lock or unlock. That's what keys do. They open doors or they lock doors. They close doors, doors that can't be opened. And that's because you've got the keys. But you know, he said something interesting in Matthew chapter 17. He said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of God. And he said, whatever, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so if he had the keys and he's delegated the keys unto us as believers, then we ought to be able to learn how to use those keys to unlock certain things that have been bound up or to lock certain things that have been loose. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And with the keys, we have the ability to both bind and loose, to lock or to unlock. And so it's going to be important that we learn how to use the God-given authority that we have. You know, when Jesus rose over in Acts chapter 1, the disciples beheld him as he got up and as he rose into heaven. And I want to pick that up a little bit right here. And just go right into the scripture in Acts chapter 1. He said, the former treaties have I made known unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach. And to the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave his disciples instruction. He said, I have some things for you to do, but in order for you to be able to carry these things out, you're going to need to receive the power of the anointing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to have to be a part of you in order for you to carry out this assignment. He said, this is the promise that has been given to you of the Father. Let's go over to St. John chapter 15. In St. John chapter 15, St. John chapter 16, we see Jesus speaking about the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, and they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. You know, the Bible told you and I that when we got saved, we got born again. Jesus said that our kingdom is not of this world. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and you've been translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. We are now children of the Most High God. He said, your citizenship is in heaven. In other words, when we got born again, you got to understand that it was more than just you got saved. You got repositioned. This is not even your earthly sojourn. This is not your earthly home. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he's going to change our vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. The Bible tells in Titus 2:13 that we're looking for the blessed hope. and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to come, but he's going to come to change us to be like him. But in the meantime, he had to equip us for the work that we have to do right down here on the earth. Verse 4. He said, but these things I have told you that when the time come, that ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goeth I? Said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. She said, yeah, I told you already I had to come, I had to be crucified, and I'm going back to be with the Father. Right now, sorrow has filled your heart. But he's already said, let not your heart be troubled in chapter 15. And so verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it is to your advantage, that I go away. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, in your Bible, if you had your Bible, I would like for everybody to just underline the personal pronoun when it considers the Holy Spirit, not as a it, but as a him. He is the third member of the Trinity. There are some organizations that don't believe that he is a him. They just believe it's a force, it's a power, God's active force that moves his servants to do his will. No more God nor personal, just like a car battery or electricity. That's blasphemy to think that way. That is just the power. No, it is the presence of God. It says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, he told the church over in Corinth that when you should be teaching others, you still have need of a teacher. You should be eating meat, but you're still on milk. You're still babes. You haven't grown in God. See, something wrong if you got a child, you birth a child, and that child grows, gets big, gets large, but never changes. He still wets in the bed. You still got to change his diaper. You still got to feed him milk. You still got to treat him like a baby. He still don't know how to talk. Well, that's how some of us are. We still don't know how to use our language. We still don't know how to walk on our own yet. So we walk by faith and not by sight. But we still get tossed to and fro with every little trial and test come along. We get all out of joint. Our mind gets discombobulated and we start turning on God. We get to crying like a little baby. The Bible tells us that we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're not supposed to be wimps in the spirit. Every time something go wrong, we turn around and blame God. Why, God, why? God already told you there's an enemy. His name is Satan. He's got a threefold agenda. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And see, the problem is that we've been babying one another too much. We allow everybody, oh, baby, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Gird up the loins of your mind. Pull up your pants. Tighten up your shoes. Lift up your head. Be a man. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Jesus bled and died and suffered more than any man has ever suffered. And for us to cop out on him just because we got some problems, we show that we have no growth in the Lord at all. And I'm tired of people babying grown folks. But they need to take responsibility and own up to the fact that Jesus has equipped us with everything that we need to walk this walk. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show unto you things to come. You know, so we can have that divine revelation knowledge concerning things to come. We are not to be shocked and shaken when we see the affairs of this life, things going on. Jesus told us already in advance in Matthew 24 that there's going to be wars or rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. Nation going to rise against kingdom, going to rise against kingdom, and nation against nation. The Bible said man's foe will be of those of his own household. God told us, he warned us of all these things. He said, but when you see all these things, know that the time is near and even at the door. And so if we can look at all of the trouble going on in the Middle East, if we can look at the economic situation in America, look at all of the pestilences, the new diseases that are showing up. Look at the Bible said, because of iniquity, which is sin, shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. People have no compassion for nobody no more. People don't care. They'll let you walk by you while you're dying on the street. You won't dare to try to help you because they don't want to get involved. They're afraid it might cost them something. Have no compassion for nobody no more. We have, the Bible said that because men in the last days, he said, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And they'll turn away from the truth. They'll turn away from following after God. They start turning into their own self-preservation. When the Bible says that we should love one another, that we ought to be able to help one another, bless those that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Those that are sick, minister to them. Those that are hungry, feed them. Those that are naked, clothe them. Those that are cast out, take them into your house. He said, do good one to another. This is how they know that you are the children of God, because we still have compassion and love and concern one for another. Not go out and just bomb folks and just destroy nations and talking about wiping out a whole race of people. And we can say that openly. I mean, some people think crazy stuff, but when you ain't got no filter, your mouth will say anything. And then all of a sudden now that's supposed to be okay. That's not okay. And we're afraid to say anything because, well, you know, who they are that said it, and, you know, we don't want to. Listen, the enemy's going to always be boisterous. But evil triumph when good men and women say and do nothing. And if we don't stand up, if we don't stand up for the kingdom, see, we ain't talking about a political stance here. We're talking about a moral compass that needs to be reset. We're talking about having compassion for humanity. Understand that we're all created in the image and in the similitude of God. And for us to just count human life as something that's to be wasted is not right. But it's the truth. Verse 8. He said, when I came to you, he said, and when he will come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin. Because if you believe on Jesus, if you put your faith in him, then he's going to put in you both the will and the ability to do his good pleasure. We all go through tests and trials in this life. But we don't defect on God. Matter of fact, the tests come to make us stronger. The trials come to prove us or to test us, our endurance. Y'all know that those of you that have been to the gym, you know that you can go and exercise one day. If you work out hard one day, you're going to be sore for the next week. But if you keep on pressing through the pain, if you keep on enduring, then you know after a while, your body becomes acclimated to it and you've gotten stronger. The tests come not to destroy you, but to make you strong. But it also comes to challenge your will and who you will side with. It's a matter of your allegiance to God. It comes to test your faith. You see, faith ain't just, I'm believing this good. No, your faith is, do you still believe God while you're going through this? Do you still understand that no temptation has taken you but such that is common unto man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape for you to be able to bear. And when we don't have the word in us, when we don't understand, when we can't bring that word in us, then the devil brings up frustration, hopelessness, discouragement, and all of a sudden now we're angry, we want to get even, we want to get back. We're like men fighting against the wind because we ain't got no enemy really in front of us to fight, but we're angry. We don't know what to do. Have faith in God. Trust God. You can't change your circumstances by worrying about them. But you can use the word of God in your faith and change it. You can call those things that be not as though they were. You can say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And it shall obey you if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. Now, all I got to do is quote the word of God. Because see, this ain't my word. This is his word. And his word is true. And if I put my faith in this word, believe this word, and apply this word, I'll see this word come to pass in my life. But if all I gotta do is start reasoning, well, you know, they say, I get tired of hearing what they say. Cause what they say ain't what God say. Let God be true and let they, every man, be a liar. Let's learn to trust in God. He said, of righteousness because I go unto my Father and you see me no more. You know, you've been made the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. When you put your faith in him, all your sins have been removed. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You have been made the righteousness of God. You're holy, not because of what you do, but because of what he did. When he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, that's not something you try to aspire to be. It was a decree. You are holy. You can't be holy on your own. You can't do it. So it's a decree. Now you have been holy, righteous, undefiled, and separate from sinners. God has already sanctified you, pulled you unto himself, separated you from the lost generation of this world. You're in a family in the household of God. God loves you. But sometimes we can get so discombobulated by all the things that are going on in this world, by the things that we see, and we lose track on where our focus should be. See, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, they were all afraid. Everybody was afraid and thought they saw a ghost. But Peter said, Lord, if that be you, command me to come. Jesus said, one word, come. And when he stepped out of the boat, everything was good as long as he kept his focus. But the waves and the wind were boisterous. The sea and the waves were roaring around him, and it pulled his attention. And so the moment he began to look at his circumstances that surrounded him, he began to sink. Now, I don't know how you begin to sink without sinking. But in other words, his faith was dwindling. It wasn't immediate sink. But the Bible said that Jesus reached down and picked him up, and then he said they both walk back to the boat on the water. See, when you got your hand in the hand of the man who can steal the water, when you got your hand in the master's hand, then I said, you can do anything if your hand is in Jesus's hand, because he's going to walk with you. And the Bible said that he said, Lord, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear no evil, because he's with you. His rod, his staff is there. It's going to comfort you. You got to be able to put your faith and your trust in him. Because trust and faith in yourself will lead you to a point where you're disillusioned. Because things don't always work out. Businesses fail. Relationships fail. Jobs fail. All that stuff fail. But God never fails. He will sustain you. He will keep you, because that's his promise. A judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know Satan has already been judged. He's just waiting to receive his sentence. He's waiting to be cast into the, he already got the sentence. He's just waiting to be incarcerated. He's waiting to be cast into the lake of fire, where he's going to be burning forever and ever. You know, I was looking at it. The Bible said that the smoke of their torment ascended up into heaven forever and ever. You got two evers on there. Eternity is a long time. Two eternities is twice as long. He said, how be it? I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, but how be it when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. What? He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that I will take of mine and show it unto you. He said, a little while you shall not see me no more. In a little while you shall see me, because I go unto the Father. So he has already equipped us for this warfare, for this spiritual walk that we have to walk. Why is it that we lose continuity of his word when we're going through things? When our money get a little short, why we get to act funny? When people start acting up around us in our relationships, friendships, social media ship, that we get to acting funny? Why is it when people come against you and persecute you because of the word's sake that you want to withdraw like a dandelion and curl up instead of getting bold as a lion and representing God? You know, you only got one life to live where you can give God glory, and this is present life right now. You're going to be judged based on your works for this life at the judgment seat of Christ, where the rewards are handed out for your meritorious service that you've done for the Lord. He's going to know the time that you stood up and said, I got a standard. I just won't do that. I represent God. This is what I am. When that little boy talking about, if you don't go to bed with me, I'm going to die. I got to have you. I'm going to die. He said, well, brother, you're just going to have to die. Because you ain't going to mess over this body, because this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to God. My body was not used for drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, or illicit sex. It wasn't used for abuse. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when women and men start seeing the value of their own vessels, they start treating themselves differently and start selling themselves short. But the Bible says something interesting. He said, when you see all these things coming to pass, wars, rumors of wars, unnatural storms, diseases cropping up, men not having natural affection, when you see people turning away from the truth and turning over to fables, he said, when you see all these things, he says, then look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. But he told us to do one thing. He said, watch. Be aware of your surroundings. Now, my wife don't like to watch the news, and that's understandable. He said, why are you always watching news? I said, because I got to know where we at. I'm trying to see the condition of the world. See, I got a responsibility to know. I'm supposed to know. You know what I'm saying? I got to know. I got to know because I got to be aware of the signs of the times. He said, these things should not come upon you unawares. You should know. So you can be able to warn the people to make ready. See, there was a time in the Old Testament, they was telling people, oh, God is going to bless you. Peace, peace. They said, no, God said, I ain't said that. He said, tribulation coming. You need to warn my people. You need to let them know that judgment is on the way so they can prepare, they can repent, they can get back right. Well, I'm just telling you now, you're going to build houses, you're going to get lands, you're going to have possession, all that smooth talk. And God said, you need to repent. Time is short. You need to make yourself ready because Jesus is coming again. Mark 13:1. As he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, Master, see what manner of stone and what buildings are here? Jesus answered and said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They were showing him the temple. Oh, how beautiful, and all the stones and all the buildings of the temple, the tabernacle and everything. They were showing that. God said, don't get impressed with this. This ain't going to last. This is temporary. There's not one stone stacked upon another. It shall not be thrown down. Now, in the natural AD 70, the Roman general Titus came in, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and carried away all of the gold and the precious things, and just robbed the land, and the people fled over to Egypt, and a lot of them fled over to Africa. And it was there. I can give you some more history on that, but that's on another lesson. And then we see what it was saying spiritually as well. This form of worship, this temple worship, this ain't going to last. God said there's something new that's coming. Because right now these people don't have faith in him. See, even today, the Jewish people over in Israel today will not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's against the law for you to even to preach Jesus over there. They're trying to pass that legislation, and I shared with that last week, that if you minister, if you preach to somebody and try to convert them to Christianity, you can go into prison for 1 year. And if the person is under age of 18, the legislation said that you can be in prison for 2 years. Talking about Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. The one who the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day rejected and still rejecting today. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John answered and asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And when shall be the sign of all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering began to say, take heed to yourself, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He said, watch, even to listen to what you're hearing. Over in Galatians talk about how there's going to be some who's trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, but if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so people are trying to tell you there's a lot of ways to salvation. No, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father unless you come through him. You can't get through it through astrology. You can't get it through Eastern mysticism. You can't get it to some type of universal galactic relationship. You know, people want to become one with the universe. No, no. Hinduism has no salvation. Buddhism has no salvation. Muslim has no salvation. Nobody deals with the sin question in your life. Nobody. Because, see, they want to skip over that and say, well, you can have 12 wives, and you can go here, you can come back as a butterfly, reincarnate, you can do all, but none of it deals with the real issue, which is the wages of sin, which is death, and the price that was paid to redeem us from our sin was the sacrifice of Jesus, which is the Son of God. How are we going to skirt around that? How are we going to get in on our own good works? How are we going to ignore the creator of all things? Well, a lot of people do. Mark 13:32. He said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. Then he said something interesting. Neither the Son, but the Father only. I explained this before. Who can answer? Why is it that no man knows the day and the hour and not even Jesus? Why is it? Say it again. Because the Father hasn't spoken it yet. Jesus is the Word of God. Remember, I said, if you consider God as all of thought and imagination, everything that's total thought, total imagination, that's God. And everything that God wants to bring from thought into the natural, he does what? He speaks it. And it becomes natural. God said, let there be light, and there was light. But light already existed in God. See, everything there is already in God. But when God wants to bring it from the abstract to the concrete, he speaks it. And so when the Father say, Son, go get my children, he'll know it's time. He said, take heed. Then he said something. Verse 33, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Watch and pray. That reminds me of Gideon. When Gideon had 3,000, he had to take them down to 300. It was only those who drank water like a dog, those that would lap and look around as they lapping, so the enemy wouldn't take them by surprise. And see, you got to watch and pray. You got to know your surroundings. Somebody said, pray with one eye open. I said, you can pray with both eyes open. You ain't more deep when your eye closed. You're more vulnerable. You need to see. You need to know your surroundings. You need to be able to identify different spirits or the spirit that's in those that are closest to you, because everybody doesn't have your best interest at heart. You got to know the difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil and this plain old spirit of this world. You got to know what's your enemy, what's the adversary, as far as that's concerned, and who is one that is just out there that needs to be saved. Everybody ain't, just because they're on drugs, they don't mean they're the devil. Now, that drug dealer, that might be another deal. What is selling the drugs?
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact he's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study his word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand his will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete.